Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Dr. Spomer and I have a theme for the entire year, Shine in 2019. And we're going to take a journey this year just through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and look at major events and people, the good, bad, and the ugly, and see how they shine. We began this year, the first week in January, with the creation of the world. God created the world in 6 days, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the seventh day he gave as a gift to mankind. A gift where God says, it's going to be my day, but I'm going to bless you and make it holy for you. Now, God also gave to mankind in creation the freedom of the will, where you can enter that rest and that blessing or not. After God created the world, there came a fall. Now, the first fall was with an angel of light named Lucifer, who wanted to be God, and he chose darkness over light. And he was sent to earth as punishment until the end of the world, when he'll be locked up in hell forever. Until then, the devil roams the earth and he tempts us with darkness. And what is that darkness? To doubt God. He lies about God and he gives us false promises. Soon after the creation, Adam and Eve listened to the devil and they fell. It is called sin. And fear entered the world. Shame entered the world as a consequence. Blame, pain, and ultimately death. But it is God who gives the promise that someday in the future, God always directs his people, look to the future, and one will come, born of Eve, who will save the world and take care of sin, death, and the power of the devil. Soon after Adam and Eve, you got Cain and Abel, and Cain kills Abel. And some of you probably, how can that happen? Two brothers in the same family who walk with God, who call upon his name. Well, I'd like to describe that to you. I want you to imagine in your minds two boats, two rudders. In one boat, you steer that rudder away from God. And in the other boat, you steer that rudder towards God. Now, imagine the boats start out together in the same place, but with the rudder going in different directions. In a day, in a week, in a year, how far will they be apart? Seth went towards God. He walked with God. He called upon the name of the Lord. His lineage did. Cain steered his boat and his rudder away from God. Now, what does that look like? When you steer your boat away from God, you no longer acknowledge God as the creator of heaven and earth. Your boat is about yourself and what you want out of life. And as you steer away from God, you not only forget about God, but you steer towards darkness. Your light goes out. And the further away you get from God, now in that darkness, you have to basically create your own God. Yeah, you get out there and you start making idols. An idol could be yourself, could be your family, your career. Listen to the words of King David, talking about the darkness of mankind away from God. They take gold and silver and they make idols. Idols with eyes that cannot see, mouths that cannot speak, ears that cannot hear. And they bow down and worship and they sacrifice their children to them. Listen to the words of Paul in the book of Romans as he describes people who steer away from God in their boat. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, exchanging the glory of the immortal God for the image resembling mortal man, birds and animals and creeping things. They're steering away from God. You make idols. Now, when you steer towards God, He's the creator. He's the one who gives you everything. He's the one who gave you the Ten Commandments to bless you. He's the one, as you draw near to Him, He draws near to you. He's the one you say, this is where my salvation is. After Cain and Abel, the world went in two directions, but the vast majority went away from God. And now you have the flood story. One family who called upon the name of the Lord and who walked with God, as Enoch did, as Seth did, as Abel did, and Adam and Eve. One family. You see, when you turn to the right and you go away from God, this is what will happen: judgment. But if you turn towards God and draw near to Him, you never face judgment. The flood story is the story of God's judgment upon mankind. It teaches us in the book of Genesis, look out. God will not be mocked. He loves you. He wants you to turn to Him. But if not, there will be a judgment. God finally said, the flood is coming. He said to Noah, build an ark. It took 100 years. And God said to Noah, speak out to the people and warn them of the coming judgment. But people did not listen. So Noah got in the ark and the animals, Noah and his family, and God brought judgment. Shut the door and the flood waters came down. God's judgment. Now it's a story for us about by grace through faith in Christ you are saved. Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Okay, that's grace. We're told in the Bible that Noah believed, and we know his faith because he was obedient and built that ark. And those who were in the ark, as the floodwaters came down, notice what happens. Noah's ark comes above that judgment, and those in the ark were saved. Now, let me take you to the future, because that's a learning lesson for all of us. They said, Jesus, tell us about the end of the world. And Jesus said, you want to know what the end of the world is like? I taught you when I told you the story of Noah. Like in the days of Noah, people will be eating and drinking and giving into marriage. There's nothing wrong with that, eating and drinking and giving into marriage. But when that's all about you, and it has nothing to do with God, you're going in the wrong direction. Eating and drinking and getting married should be all about God. He says, like in the days of Noah, that'll happen. And Jesus is the herald. Okay? And judgment is coming. And this is what we know. It is by grace through faith you are saved, not of works. Listen to the words of the Bible. Those who are in Christ are saved. The ark is a type of the salvation that we get from Christ. So, let me take you up to par. Creation of the world, the fall of man. You got the flood waters coming up. And now coming off that ark is 8 people. But what we have learned from the book of Genesis is that people go in 2 directions. There are 2 sons of Noah that go towards God and make Him the creator that He is, and they honor and they worship Him. One son, Ham, goes off in this direction. We're going to pick up that story. It's called the Tower of Babel or Babel. But before we get to that, I want to share with you a few things about our world. We do not believe the Bible because this evidence is out there. We believe the Bible because through the Word of God, we have an encounter with Him, and He gives us that faith. Let me tell you what all cultures on earth have in common: a flood story. Wherever you go in this world, there's a flood story. Why is that? Because it actually happened. Another thing that all cultures on earth has in common: dragon slayers. What's a dragon slayer? A dinosaur killer. Meaning, after Noah's flood, dinosaurs could never grow as big, and man killed them all. If man is capable of genocide, he's capable of destroying the dinosaurs. But our dinosaurs still alive today. Yeah, they're all over the place. Crocodiles, turtles, alligators, sharks, platypus, the mallard duck. Why am I telling you this? Every culture on earth has a flood story. Every culture on earth has dragon slayers. Every culture on earth has ziggurats, pyramids. Whether you go to North America, South America, Africa, Asia, Greenland, there are a common design of a pyramid built. Now, along with all those cultures are legends and stories about what is important about these ziggurats, these pyramids, these towers built by human hands. In one story, you have a light on top of it, like a lighthouse. In another story, you have a man, a warrior, with a sword, and he's fighting God. In another legend, man goes to the top of the pyramid, takes an arrow, and shoots at God. And that arrow comes down with blood on it. Man can fight and war with God. All these legends, all these stories, what do we believe? Well, we need to go to the Bible as our only source. Let's take a closer look at the story found in the Bible about the first ziggurat, the first tower. It's called the Tower of Babel, built by man's hands, and I'm going to call it the Tower of Confusion. Let's go. Genesis 11. I'm going to read. Just follow along. Now, the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, notice this, it's not about God. It's about themselves. Come, let us make bricks and burn them. And I'm going to paraphrase, with our hands thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us. Notice, let us. They're so far away from God. It's about them. Let us build. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top to the heavens. Notice this. They want to go up to God. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. I'm telling you, this is the first idol. Something man builds with his own hands, and he falls down and thinks about it all the time. You see, when you go so far away of God, you start thinking about what you do, and you are like God. Now, what was the purpose of this? The first purpose was to make a name for themselves. We like to do that, don't we? Have you ever wanted to make a name for yourself? Huh? Make a career for yourself? Make a tower for yourself? And then they literally thumbed their nose at God, because let me tell you what God says. Here's the, after Noah's Ark, of all the people who should have known that we worship God and we know what God wants of us, these people should have. This, a few generations after Noah, they saw the flood. They should have known about judgment. Okay? God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. You know what they said? No, we're not going to fill the earth. We're not going to be dispersed. We're staying right here. Wow. We see the sin and the darkness and how far away from God they went. Make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed. Now, one of the things which you'll always find, and God teaches us through these stories, that when you get so far away from God, there's going to be judgment. There's going to be judgment. So God comes down. I'm here to tell you that's good news. When Adam and Eve sinned, God came and found them. When Cain killed his brother, God came down to find him. God walked with Enoch, walked with Noah, and God came down to the people and for 100 years warned them about the judgment to come. Here, God comes down once again to take a look at man. But he brings the judgment. And what was God's judgment? Two things. I know it says one there, but there are two things. Number one, God said, let us confuse their language and let us disperse them over the face of the earth. You see, when man attempts to build a tower, when man attempts to go on his own, it leads to darkness, confusion, and disbursement. That's the way life goes. You get so far out there, the most important thing to you and your family and your children is, they have to get to soccer. They got to play football instead of, they got to get to church. And I got to teach them about Jesus. I got to train them in the name of the Lord. And when you get so far out there, what happens is you get confused. And life becomes very dark. And what God wants us to do is say, hey, turn that rudder. Come back to me. If not, you're going to be dispersed. You're not going to even understand what's going on in our world. And so God gave them what they wanted because they were headed in the wrong direction. And he says, okay. I mean, not what they wanted, but the opposite of what they wanted. He dispersed them, confused their language. Now, in our world today, experts on language will tell you this. All languages come from one language. But this is what the Bible says. Let me explain you why that happened. Why do we have people living all over the world speaking different pure languages and having different colors? The Tower of Babel. Sin has separated man from God and man from each other. But here's the good news. God came down and did not leave them out there dispersed in the world. God came down through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, and built a tower not built by human hands, but built by God, not with bricks, but with living stones. I'm going to call this the Tower of God, God's lighthouse, a tower of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, why did God come down? To do the opposite of what sin does, separate us, confuse us. Listen to these words, the purpose of God's tower, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the capstone of the church where the gospel is proclaimed. Gives his disciples a name from Christ. Right now, this morning, this weekend, Christians throughout the world, from Africa to Asia, from North America to South America, Christians are gathering and worshiping. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like or a follower of Christ, a disciple. Listen to how the Bible explains the name God has given us. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Wow. If you're here this morning and you call yourself a Christian, you're with a group that God has put together called the church. And the capstone of this tower is Christ. Now, the second purpose of the tower of the gospel of Jesus Christ is this, to gather disciples from all nations. Sin separates. Sin brings darkness. The tower, the lighthouse brings light, gathers, gives us a name. Listen to these good words. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish from every kind. What's he talking about? God's plan of salvation. It's not the plan of man. It's God's plan of salvation. It is God who gathers us as Christians. It is God who brings nations together. The devil and sin separates. God gathers and unites. Now, when sin takes us in this direction, away from God, there is judgment. But when you turn that rudder of your life towards God, he draws near to you. With him, there is salvation. With him, what is showered upon you is not judgment, but grace. God wants to shower his grace upon each and every one of us. We worship the God of grace. Listen to the grace God gives us. Number one, gives to mankind the one language of the gospel of Jesus. See, the opposite of the Tower of Babel is Pentecost. Listen to what happens once again. We hear them telling in our own language the mighty works of God, what God has done for us. You see, when you're going towards God, you acknowledge Him as your creator. You acknowledge Him as your tower. Your life, your children, your career is His. Your salvation is in His hands, not in your hands. And we hear them speaking in our own language. That one thing that unites Christians throughout the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the light. What is the grace of God? Number two, God gathers His people together on earth as He does in heaven. On earth as He does in heaven. Listen to these words. Where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I, saith the Lord. You see, we're gathered here as the church. Guess who's gathering with us? Who gathers here? God. As we draw near, He draws near to us. Where every word and sacrament are administered, God is present. God gathers His people and unites them under grace. Not only does He give us a picture here of the grace, but He always points us to the future. He always points us to heaven. Because just as when the people asked Jesus, tell us about the end of the world, He said, well, you know the story of Noah, right? God could have, or Jesus could have easily have said these words. You know the story of the Tower of Babel, right? And He kind of does, because He talks about another separation due to judgment once again. But He also shows that grace side. Listen to these words. Before Him will be gathered all nations. That's before Jesus. And He will separate people one from another. We remember the Tower of Babel. As a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, those on his right and those on his left, those who have gone in different directions in their life. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by My Father. They're not facing judgment. They're already separated. And notice the grace that He says to them. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, from the beginning with Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah, and the Tower of Babel. You see, we gather here, and it's a type, just like the ark is a type of God's salvation that He gives. We are a type of that which is gathered in heaven, those that turn towards God, those that draw near to Him and He draws near to them, those that He has gathered in the waters of baptism, those He has gathered in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. He always points to heaven where we'll be gathered again. And He will take us to heaven. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through Me. Here's the good news. Okay? You don't have to build a tower. It's already built. The tower is Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you're going to go home from here. What are you going to take with you this morning? Number one, I'm going to ask you just, where are you steering the rudder of your life? Do you realize everything you do in life either takes you away from God or closer to God? This week, ask yourself, where do you turn? Where do you look? What tower are you looking for? Are you going towards Christ, drawing near to Him? Is He the creator of heaven and earth? Is He where you are saved? Is He the direction of your marriage, your family, your career? Just ask yourself that. I'm going to encourage you, if you find yourself going one way, repent and turn the other way.